The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and above the restaurant, Alto Forno Restaurant, a fabulous Italian restaurant here in Peabody run by the Mamola family, who also own Daniela's, I almost forgot, and Palana. Hope everyone is doing well. It is, we are into the month of November. Election Day has passed us. So all of the political postings and political ads hopefully will stop now. And we have to, all those signs, well, what are you going to do with all those signs? Geez, you know, I guess we have to recycle that stuff, right? Can't just throw it in the trash. You got to recycle all that stuff. Those signs are coming down. I'm so glad that whole election season is well behind us. But, you know, there'll always be the after effects that will happen on Facebook and everyone will have their opinions to share. Let's control the stuff that we can control. Now, wait a second. I shouldn't jump there too fast. You can control collectively the outcome of a decision at an election by simply showing up to the polls. And I will tell you this. I did vote on Tuesday morning. I swung by the high school in North Andover, and I was floored. Now, granted, I was there about 7:30. I was floored at how busy this place was. I thought for sure it was just going to be dead, because everywhere I went, it seems like people had already said, I voted. I've already submitted my absentee ballot. I already did it. I went early. I did all this stuff. So I figured, well, who's left to go to the high school to vote? They canceled school for the day. Kids didn't have high school. Didn't have school today. So I figured, it's going to be dead. It was packed. It was packed. And I mean, that's good. I mean, regardless of the outcome that you wanted, I don't know what was considered a successful national outcome of with a positive or negative. You can decide what you think, whether it worked to what you wanted or not. But more than anything else, there were more people than ever before that showed up for midterm elections. And hey, it's our responsibility, our right as citizens here of the United States to get out and voice our opinion. So that is all good. I'll tell you something that was interesting, actually, as it relates to elections. A few years ago, I was in Brazil speaking at a conference, and they were having the presidential elections that weekend. I was gone before, or just after the weekend. I was gone just before they actually had the election that occurred. But of course, there was all of the political fanfare that goes along with that. Now, we talk about here in the United States that you have a right as a U.S. citizen who's over the age of 18 to be able to vote. But it's not a requirement, right? It's a right. How would you like to live in a country where it's not just a right, it is a requirement? And if you don't vote, your passport is pulled from you. Think about that. Imagine how different the elections would be if everybody who was eligible to vote had to vote. That would be a very, very, very different kind of election. So you can ask yourself, I mean, we want people to vote, people that want to have that have the right to vote, to get out to vote. But what would happen if everybody who was eligible to vote had to vote? And one of the things that's happened, and I'm kind of watching this whole thing kind of tumble and fall apart over in Brazil. We've seen the president get booted. There's all sorts of political upheaval that's gone over in Brazil. There was a guy. This is, and our guide who was with us in Brazil pointed this out, a gentleman who works the street corners as a clown. You know, he's a street performer, and he grabs an enormous crowd, and everybody seems to know who this guy was. And he decided that this was the year he was going to run for political office. And if he won, every weekend he'd be back on the street corner doing his act, but filling everybody in on what really, really happens behind the scenes, what really, really goes on in, you know, in the government operations. the guy had no money. I mean, he's working the street trying to, you know, make his, I forget what the reais, like whatever it was, that they were using as currency over there. And he won. And he won. So he became part of the Brazilian Congress or whatever they called that at the time. And I don't know how he's doing today, but it was the biggest joke that this is what happened. I mean, anybody can vote because, I mean, he was really out there to represent and talk to the poor. And when you're in Brazil, you're either poor or you're rich. It's that simple. But this guy, he was a member of the poor class, and he was going to represent the poor class and tell everybody what was going on. Really fascinating. So ask yourself this when elections come along, should elections be a right? Should we have the right to vote? And it's up to us to decide whether we want to or not? Or should it be a requirement as a citizen of this country to vote? What would you prefer? How would you think about that? Just some food for thought. Maybe it's a discussion or around the breakfast table this morning as you're having coffee with your spouse, kids, family, friends, wherever it might be. But anyways, we are here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago that we actually got word from the U.S. Trademark Office that the term financial advice in a language you can understand is now a registered trademark through Friedman Financial, so no one else can use it. Or if you want to, I'm happy to charge you a fee to use it. But we are thrilled that actually we've been using it for so long that the U.S. Trademark Office suggested and said that it was approved for us to use it as a registered trademark. You know, a lot of things going on as we hit the last 6 to 8 weeks of this year. Thanksgiving just around the corner. Christmas coming up real soon. We've got lots of holidays, lots of things to do. The kids are coming back home from school pretty soon. It's an exciting time, I think. But the past month and a half, certainly in the markets, have not been nearly as exciting, have they? Well, if you like action, you've certainly seen it. That's for sure. And many of you know that last week I was in Rome visiting my son, Jerry, who's in Trastevere. I can't even say the name right. Trastevere. I can't even say it right. I was visiting Jerry. He's enjoying himself. Jerry's going to the University of Miami. As a freshman, he'll start there this spring, but they gave him the opportunity to spend his freshman fall semester for the University of Miami as part of an exchange program, and he's studying abroad the first semester in Rome with 16 other kids that will also start their spring semester back in Miami, and he's really enjoying that. But, I had planned, frankly, to send in a very old taped show that just talked about financial advice in a language you can understand. Ideas, just thoughts, general basic concepts. And then I watched from Rome. I left on Thursday night, the Red Sox losing an 18-inning game. Watch that. Then I missed watching them win the next two games on Saturday and Sunday so that they won the World Series. I missed all the news and all of the headlines around the shooting and the massacre that happened in Pittsburgh at the synagogue there. I missed the ongoing news and reporting about the market's crazy movements over the final few days of the month of October. And then to make matters worse, I even missed watching the Red Sox parade. I couldn't be there. So it was kind of lonely being in Rome. And with all that was going on in the world, I thought, you know what? I brought my microphone with me. Maybe I might want to do a show in Rome. And that's what I did. Rather than give you a taped show last Sunday, I broadcast from the lobby of the Palazzo Naidi in Rome and shared some thoughts, perspectives. Many people who I ran into a few days later were asking me if I had a cold because I sounded horrible on the radio. That's probably because it was about 6:30 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. I was downstairs in the lobby. There's people coming and going and, you know, who's this guy just talking to a microphone, you know, talking to himself? They must have thought I was some nutcase up at 6:30 that had had too much to drink the night before and he had just come in from a club. So I was trying to talk a little softer, trying to be less animated than I normally am here in the studio. But it was a lot of fun and I hope you enjoyed the show. Anyway, I wanted to continue with some thoughts around what's been going on in the markets, thoughts about year end, thoughts about a lot of things as it relates to money. The market has been very responsive to the tough few days that it had in the month of October and been more positively responsive in the month of November, though the days that have followed the election, there's been some movement along that as well. But what's interesting is many of you will have probably received your statements for October over the past few days. Chances are you got a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You got that. And what you're going to be surprised about, the value of your October 31st account is, or was, I should say, is probably much different than what it looks like as of the day you're looking at your statement. What I mean by that is that, you know, we saw some volatility at the beginning of October. This you're going to get your monthly statement from October. October, you see the value. Around the 20th of October or so, your statement probably hit its lowest value, especially if you were invested in the stock market and you went through all the volatility that and the downward movement that happened in the month of October. Then it started to creep its way back up, went back down, went back up, a little bit back and forth. So whatever your October 31st statement says, when you compare October 1st to October 31st, of course, remove any of the money that you might have pulled from your account. If you look at the value from beginning to the end of the month, and you might say, man, that was pretty bad. I got to tell you this, it probably wasn't as bad as it was 10 days prior had they printed the statement. But if you were to look at your statement on the day, I mean, if you had looked at the value of your account on the day you received your statement, I think you're going to be pretty pleased. I think you're actually going to see that your account value has gone up over the past few days during that period of time. Understand that investment portfolios don't move in a straight line. Not up, not down, not flat. They go up, they go down, they bounce all over the place, as evidenced by what's happened in the market on a daily basis. If you're foolish enough to watch CNBC or keep checking your phone every hour to see what the market's doing, you'll know that certainly towards the end of the month of October, there was a period of time when the Dow Jones Industrial Average was just an index of about 30 stocks or so. It's not the whole market, it's 30 stocks. It was up some 400 points when it opened in the morning, and then it dropped down so that it was flat for the day. Then it dropped another 400 points. It was almost a spread of 800 to 900 points during the course of the day. And before the day closed out, it closed out only down 200. And that is a wild ride. That is a wild ride. Not wild from a percentage standpoint, but wild from a points standpoint. Because understand, we're not looking at a market, a Dow Jones Industrial Average, that is selling at $2,000 or $3,000. It's at 24, 25, 26, somewhere in the 20s. So when it moves 1,000 points one way or the other, yeah, it's a move. It's 3 or 4 percentage points. But it's not 20%. It's not what happened. I remember back in 2000. I'm actually thinking back now to when this was. This was October of 1986. October of 1987, because yes, it was the summer anniversary. I can't even do the math in my head right now. When the market dropped 20% one day, 20%. So that, imagine dropping 20% in one day. That would mean that if the market was selling at 25,000, that would mean the market would have had to have dropped 5,000, going from 25,000 to 2,000 in one day. In one day. That means if you were 100% invested in the stock market and you matched up to the indexes, and most people don't do that, but if you did and you had $100,000 in your account, in one day you lost 20 grand. If that ever happened today, would it be the time to get out or the time to buy? And that's always the big question. We can express what we think we would do as rational people when the reality is not happening, because we all know you buy low and sell high, right? When tuna fish goes on sale, you buy more tuna fish. When strawberries are not $4.99 a pound, but $2.99 a pound or $1.99 a pound, you buy more strawberries. But when they go up in value, no, you just don't buy them, right? But what do? The stock market is one of the few markets, it really is. I mean, it's just like going to the supermarket. You're buying stuff and selling stuff. It's when the stock market is one of those few places where people don't necessarily buy low and sell high. They buy high and they sell low. Think about it. As the market's moving forward and the market's climbing up, over the past few months, over the past year or two, we've heard from people that have said, you know what, Mark? The rates at the bank are just horrible. I can't stand it anymore. And I feel bad to see how much I've missed out on this big uptick in the market that's gone on for 7, 8, 9 years. Seems like it just keeps going up. I want to move everything to the stock market. Well, that, my friends, is what's called buying high poorly. That's what you're doing. You're buying high. Wouldn't you want to be a little bit more rational, be a little bit more thoughtful? Because get this, right now I've got some thoughts that would suggest maybe the bank is the best place to keep some of your money. Let me tell you a little bit more about that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area for over 50 years. Yeah, 50 years. Hard to believe. Dad started the firm in 1968. Not me. I was two. I was still in diapers. I really was. I know. I know you're thinking to yourself, he's that old? Mark's 52 years old. Yes, I am 52 years old and feeling it every day. I didn't think I would. But yeah, having to wear these reading glasses is, sometimes when I get out of a chair and I go, I don't know where that came from. I don't know when that started up. I've got to get in shape. I got to stop doing these radio shows, sitting down doing the radio shows. But I will tell you, as many of you know, I was in Rome last week, a little sore from all the walking. Well, that was a little wake-up call, that's okay. That's a good sore. That's, probably all the walking and then the food that I ate afterwards or before, adds a few extra pounds to those legs and those feet. So we had a good time. But I was happy to say I got home and I hadn't gained as much weight as I thought I might have. I was only up about 2.5 pounds, and that's good. And it's all since fallen off since then. My wife says it's plain fat. She seems to think that's where I picked it up, is just sitting there, because I drink so much water on the plane. And so I just become this giant, heavy sponge, I think, on the plane. Anyways, we are back here in studio at in Beverly, across from the North Beverly train station, high above Calico Corners and the Depot Diner and all the other great restaurants, places to visit, all that stuff. Hey, if you happen to be, and I know that I was going to say Pat Whitley, but it's not Pat. It's Scott Whitley is going to be on just after me on Wicked Bites. I know he's been busy promoting and encouraging everybody to go back and visit with the restaurateurs in Andover, North Andover, and Lawrence, who were shut down for months. They are finally back open. Please go visit the local businesses that are there. They could really use your help. I live in North Andover myself. I know that we've really tried our best to patronize many of those restaurants in the area. They're great food, great service. People have gone through a very, very difficult time, and hopefully they can get their businesses started back up again. If you're gonna spend some money on restaurants, and people do go out to eat all the time, think about heading up to Andover or North Andover or Lawrence, any of those restaurants. They are back open and ready for business, and that, my friends, is some financial advice in a language that you can understand, because, hey, gotta eat, right? We gotta eat, and if you're gonna go out to eat, head up there. Give them a place. There's a taco place, great Mexican place I should tell you about. I never thought that I would be a fan of just going to a taco place. But this is not like Taco Bell tacos. This is the real live Baja taco experience. Place called Bueno Malo. Bueno Malo, which I believe means, I don't know, good, bad, something like that. It's night day. Bueno Malo is the name of the place. It's tucked away in a little bit of an alcove in downtown Andover. They were shut down for a while. Great tacos. Just the most enormous, freshest tacos you've ever seen. It's fabulous there. They do all sorts of stuff. Great margaritas. They're not paying me to say that. They're not. You won't hear an advertisement for them here on my show or anything like that. Just happen to like the food, and I'm telling you about it. Anyways, when I last left you, I told you about why cash, why I'm thinking that people that have cash may want to think differently about their cash rather than be so discouraged by what they're earning on their cash. It's really fascinating how many people come walking into my office and they go, Mark, I got an extra $50,000, an extra $100,000. I know some of you are thinking, no, it would be nice if I had an extra 50 or 100 grand sitting in the bank. But, you know, I've got a bunch of money sitting in the bank or CDs that are coming due, and all I'm getting is 0.13, 0.40%. It's nothing. Can you do something better? I want to make a little bit more money. The market's been good. Can you do something better? Well, here's the thing. First off, if you just simply allow your CDs to renew automatically, or if you leave your money market or savings accounts alone in your bank and don't talk to a teller or somebody at the bank, you're missing out on a huge opportunity. The banks can offer you a better rate. Many banks, certainly the local banks, the national banks struggle because they've got a little bit more power and control, but the local banks who can make independent decisions, can serve the needs of the community, you can get savings accounts, money market accounts, even CDs in the 2% range. Now, that is a vast difference from 0.4 or 0.2. It's a big, big change. And all you have to do in many cases is ask. I refer to this as to what's going on at the banks right now as the same issue that Verizon and Xfinity have with their customers. You know, you're watching TV and you see the triple play or whatever they do from Comcast or Xfinity or Verizon. I don't even know who does it anymore. And you say, wow, that sounds like a great deal. And then the line at the very bottom says, for new customers only. It's like, well, wait a second. I've been a customer of Verizon or Comcast for 15 years, and I can't take advantage of that? So wait a second, I'm going to pay $320 for my cable service, but somebody else can get it for $99? That doesn't make any sense. Well, that's kind of what's happening right now at the banks. At the banks, if you were to look at their website, if you were to read in the newspapers, if you were to look for their ads, you're going to see signs that say, 18-month CD 2%, or I'm just making this stuff up, but it's better than what you have right now. The 2% number is for real, though. You can get 2% at a lot of area banks, but they're putting it on signs, and it's for new customers only. So if you're a depositor at your local bank, they're not calling you and saying, hey, I happen to notice that you got a $100,000 CD that's earning 0.4%. Would you be interested in converting that over to a 2% CD when it comes due? Why would they do that? They're actually saying, I'd like to spend more money. And, you know, banks watch every dollar very carefully because banks, the margins at banks can be very, very small. You need to be the aggressor. You need to be the person that is showing up and asking the right questions. And I would strongly, strongly, strongly encourage you to explore the money that you have at the bank with the bank that you're at and say, can we do better? Go to a website. I'm going to tell you a couple of websites to look at. One is bankrate.com. Go to bankrate.com. That is a great place to go to see what's going on. I mean, you can go right down to the local area code that you live in to find out what those rates might be. But I also want to say this. Many folks will say to me, well, Mark, but I have this money in the bank. I see how good the market's been doing. Should I give it to you? Can you do something better for me? And the answer is it depends. Can I find investments that can perform better than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5%? Probably, but you need to be willing to live with the possibility that it may not hit that number, that it may do better than that, it may do worse than that, and it may do that in a very short period of time. When you're investing money with a financial advisor, when you're placing money that you want that financial advisor to manage, you want to make sure that that decision is something that you're willing to leave alone or perhaps just draw income from for 3 to 5 years or more. Yeah. So the money that you think you're going to need, the cash that you think you might need for short-term expenses, for month-to-month living expenses, for a wedding that's coming up, for a education cost that's coming up. Maybe it's a college tuition. Maybe it's a graduation present. Maybe it's a bunch of Christmas presents you want to do, or Christmas shopping, or vacations you want to go on. That stuff belongs in the bank. Using your investment account as your emergency fund is a foolish, foolish strategy. You should have ample money in the bank. And now is even more of a reason why you should have it in the bank. With interest rates being where they are, you can actually make some money, not a lot, but you can make some money on your money in the bank. And get this, it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. You need to have some of that. All too often, I see many people that come into my office and they show me they're very proud of their investment strategy that they've built, or investment portfolios that they've structured with a variety of financial advisors. Maybe they've done it on their own, all that kind of stuff. And I say, well, where's the cash? And they have no cash. I see many people that come to us with the vast majority of their money in their 401k plan, in their IRA account. And I say, what's the situation with the money in the bank? And they go, I don't have any money in the bank. Well, what do you do for extra money if you come up short, if you need to repave the driveway or replace the roof or do the boiler? Oh, well, I just take the equity from my house and I use that. Or I put it on a credit card. Or, hey, I'm over 59 and a half. I can take money from my IRA account. That's not the way to do this, folks. And especially today. Especially today, where interest rates aren't going down anytime soon. In fact, they're likely to continue to rise in the very near future. Those rates on your home equity loan, those adjustable rates that you might have on a mortgage, they're going up, folks. It's going to get more and more and more expensive. You need to prepare yourself for that. You need to be sure that you're balancing your cash with your investments, making sure that you have ample insurance to protect yourself in the event something happens. You want to have ample automobile, homeowners, umbrella coverage. You want to be sure, do you have the proper life insurance in place? Do you need life insurance? That's one of those big questions. Do you need life insurance? Many people are going to say, well, yeah, of course I do. And many people do. But many people need life insurance for a variety of different reasons. Why do you buy life insurance? Why do you buy it? Good questions to ask. I mean, that is, you got to ask yourself, why do I have this life insurance? Do I have it so that if I die, my family will use the money to pay off the mortgage? If I die, I'll have money that will come into the house to pay off the cost of education costs? If I die, do I want money to come into the house so that my wife or my spouse, whomever it might be, doesn't ever have to work again and there's enough money to provide them with an income stream? Why should you own insurance? Do you want to have insurance that if you die, that there'll be money to pay the estate tax on your situation? Lots of questions, but if you don't know what you have, if you don't know what you need, what you have, where everything is, you can't make the smartest and most informed decision about which insurance is right for you. Do you have disability insurance? Is it offered by your employer? Do you own it on your own? Who pays for it? All of those questions are ones that you need to know the answers to and what the implications are if ever that needs to be called upon. Insurance is an important, an extraordinarily important part of your financial planning puzzle. And if you don't know why you own it, if you don't know how much you have, if you don't know how much you're paying, if you don't know whether it makes sense, you need to know the answers to those questions. That's all part of what we do at Friedman Financial. Yeah, we deal with the investments for sure. We deal with the insurance, but we also deal with all of the other big picture financial questions that you have in your life. Should I buy or lease a car? Should I consider purchasing a second home? How do I best fund my kids' education? Mom and dad are getting sick or getting older. Will I need to help them with their health care costs? Should they buy long-term care insurance? Should I help them with long-term care insurance? How much should I take from my investment accounts when I retire? And where's the best place to take it so I pay the least amount in taxes? Folks, we all have to pay taxes as U.S., well, most of us have to pay taxes depending upon the income that you have. But There is nothing wrong with paying the amount that you need to pay, not more than is necessary. It's still patriotic to live within the U.S. tax code and to follow the guidelines. And if you can get money out of your investments, out of your personal assets, by paying the least amount of tax, do it. But if you don't know how to do it, that's another question that you should be asking of a financial advisor. Folks, all of this is what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. I don't try to boggle your mind with these crazy definitions and crazy terms that nobody understands, like bond inversions and alphas and standard deviations and Sharpe ratios and all that stuff. Nobody cares about that stuff. And nobody should be scaring you or intimidating you so that you can't figure out what you need for your own financial life. We are here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. We got a lot more to share with you, and I will be back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Go on, take the money and run.
Since 1989, more than a million New Englanders have come to Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater to listen for those two wonderful words that mean Christmas is here.
Bah, humbug.
Join Ebenezer Scrooge, Tiny Tim, and the area's largest cast of actors, singers, and revelers for the 28th annual production of A Christmas Carol. In this lavish musical adaptation of the Charles Dickens classic, you'll see Victorian England come to vibrant life accompanied by a live orchestra and a dazzling array of ghostly special effects. Come see the show the Boston Globe has called flawless and spellbinding for all ages. North Shore Music Theater's production of A Christmas Carol plays from December 7th through December 23rd only. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by Market Street Linfield.
Back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, where we provide financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, for your retirement planning, give us a call. 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Nobody is in the office today, but you can certainly leave a message and we will get back to you. However, let me tell you a few other ways that you can reach out to me. And in fact, if you want to reach out to me today, I'm sure I will figure out a way to get back in touch with you. I always do. I'm basically on 24/7, it feels like. If you want to sign up for my newsletter, we have a free newsletter that comes out each and every Friday. It lands in your inbox at 10:30 in the morning. Go to friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of the page of any of the pages on my website. You put in your name, your email address, and there's a room there for comments if you'd like. You want to let me know how you feel about the show. You have questions about the show. You have questions you want me to address on the show. If you want me to reach out to you personally, anything you want to say, or just say, hey, I love the show, or hey, Mark, that was the worst radio show I've ever heard before in my life. Tell me anything you want. It's okay. I got pretty thick skin. I can handle that. But you will be signed up for our newsletter. It lands in your mailbox, in your inbox, 10:30 in the morning, and it's called Planning Pointers. All it is one page. Financial advice in a language you can understand with links to the appropriate stories that go along with it. In fact, somebody asked actually for my newsletter a couple weeks ago. He called the office last week, and he was referencing a newsletter that had talked about my favorite free calculator site. I don't know if you remember this. With the new tax laws that are coming, the new tax law changes. Actually, it's in effect right now. But if you wanted to figure out, well, what's the cost of a mortgage? If I got a $300,000 mortgage, 30 years at 5%, what's that monthly cost going to be? Or what would it cost if I invested $100,000 today and it earned 4% a year over the next 5 years on a compounded basis? What would that be? All those calculators. There's thousands of calculators like that. Well, there is a website that I refer people to, and I use it in my office. I do it because it's just so easy to use. It's called, get ready for this, Dinkytown. You got it right. Dinkytown, DinkyTown.net, not com, DinkyTown.net. It is free. It's a great, great website for you to be able to use all sorts of calculations. But I use it almost daily right now to compare how your tax liability might be different for this year as compared to last year, and comparing last year's tax code to this year's tax code. It's a very, very helpful tool. However, this gentleman that calls the office today, a couple days ago, says, you know, I saw your calculator that's on there, and it's asking me to put in some information about my situation. And he said, how secure is this website? And I go, oh, my God. I said, did it ask you for your Social Security number? Nope. Did it ask you for your date of birth? Nope. What did it ask you for? Said, well, it's asking me how much I make. Well, yeah, this was the tax calculator, so they need to know how much you make. They need to know what your dividends were that you earned for the year. They need to know what your tax withholdings. I said, did it ask for your name, address, or phone number? Nope. I said, I really wouldn't be too concerned. Nobody knows who you are. Well, you know, I'm really protective. I don't trust this internet thing. Well, you know, I'm sorry. You know, a lot of stuff that's on the internet is designed to help your life become more efficient. And yes, we have to be very vigilant about predators that are out there. In fact, I'll tell you a story, live story. This is coming out of this past week. Really, really, really happened. Someone that we know here on the North Shore, older woman in her mid-80s, got a phone call from her grandson who had said that he'd gotten into a bit of trouble and needed some money. He didn't have any money available, couldn't get through to his parents, just needed help right away, and needed $7,300. And the money needed to be picked up in a money order, mailed, and sent off. And grandma did it, thought nothing of it until 2 days later, gets the call again from the grandson, and I'm actually making quotation marks, grandson, who she insists that was his voice, that was who it was. It wasn't the greatest connection, but it was him, and I was worried. Needed now $12,000. And she goes down to the local bank asking for another money order. And the teller said no. How about that, huh? Three cheers for the teller. The teller thought something was up. People don't generally, when's the last time you walked into a bank and asked for a money order of any significant amount, right? There's all sorts of ways in which you can give money to people. You can wire money. You can write a check. You can do all sorts of money order. And the teller said no. Reported it to the manager. And the manager suggested that they reach out to this person's child, who also happened to have an account. They knew this person. The benefits of a local bank, right? Knew the kid as well, and they reached out to the son, and the son reported it, as did the bank, to the police. And this person, of course, stopped calling. The grandson, which was never really the grandson, never kept calling. I don't think they'll ever see, and she said she doesn't believe she will ever see the $7,300 back that she wrote. She feels sick to her stomach that she got taken. The bank, you know, feels bad, but there's nothing they can do. At least they stopped part two. The bank can't pull the money back. I mean, it's a money order, right? It's as good as cash. But folks, this is happening out there. This is happening out there on a regular basis. This is not an internet scam. This is someone picking up the phone and calling you and saying, hey, grandma, it's me. I was out hiking in the Everglades and I got trapped and I stepped on an alligator tail and it was an endangered species and I didn't know. And the people from the commission came and they took me away and they brought me to jail and it was terrible and I was stuck here in this prison and they sent me money. And grandma's feeling really bad, right? And it's believable. These guys are good. Real, real good. If you get a call from the IRS saying that we see that you haven't made any payments, we need you to collect. Oh, get this. Hey, and earlier in the show, I told you about the fact that that I received a trademark approval from the U.S. Patent Office on financial advice in a language you can understand. I got the certificate. I got the official government document, all that kind of stuff. I had to pay for that, of course. So this past week, I get a certified letter from the government of Czechoslovakia that has all of this information about my trademark that says, in order for it to be internationally registered as a trademark, please send $3,250. And I will tell you, this document looks as real can be. Now, if you are a big corporation who does this on a regular basis, perhaps you think nothing of getting a bill for $3,250 and making it an international. It looked perfect. It referenced the U.S. patent number. It referenced everything on it. But it was fake. It was fake. I tossed it. I actually called the attorney's office where I had the patent approved, with the trademark approved. But folks, you got to be real careful. And if you're ever uncertain, if you're ever uncertain whether someone who is asking you for money, either over the phone, asking you to mail them a check, responding to a letter that you get in the mail, if you're ever uncertain, stop for a moment and ask somebody else's opinion. And my advice to you is, don't ask one of your peers, because your peer may be facing the same question, maybe targeted the same way. Find somebody else. Find somebody who you think is a little bit more shrewd and connected to what goes on in the world of internet scams, real life scams, that you can read through a lot of it. Look, there's a lot of sites right now where you're getting an email. In fact, my wife got one where it said to Laura, my wife, that she needed to send another check because her check didn't clear on an account that she wrote against our Bank of America account. And it said it was from Bank of America, had the Bank of America logo on it, the whole thing. And I said, Laura, this is not accurate. And so I took a look at the email that she got, and I clicked on the Bank of America logo. And you generally know that when you get an email from a corporation, if you click on that logo, it's going to take you to their site, right? Well, that was a dead link. There was nothing. You couldn't click on the logo. And then I looked to see, did it say, you know, mail at bankofamerica.com. No, it didn't. It's at mail at some word dot bankofamerica.ru. Do you know what RU stands for? That means it's coming from Russia. If it says dot IT, it means it's coming from Italy. If it says, you know, AU, it's coming from Australia, perhaps. It's so easy to get tricked into this stuff, folks. Make sure that you have someone that can help you make informed decisions. Unless your bill looks legitimate, unless you're structured and set up to do this the right way, if you get something out of the blue that says you owe money, it's okay to be skeptical. Ask someone for some direction. Ask someone for some thoughts and advice. Ask someone, please, please, please. I want to help you. I want to give you financial advice in a language you can understand. But I also want to make sure that you're not getting scammed by others. Look, as we get older, we become more susceptible for people that are coming after our money. You know why? Because we have the money. The older you are, generally, you've got the money, and you're... I just see some of these stories, and they happen real. I mean, I see them in my own office, and I feel bad about it. The other thing that you're going to find is rather interesting is if you're a GE shareholder, if you're a GE shareholder, perhaps you saw the news this past week, the GE has decided to cut its dividend once again to virtually nothing. GE, a couple of years ago, was at about 48 cents a dividend, 48 cents for the year, so about 12 cents a quarter. Before that, it was 24 cents a quarter, but now it is going to 1 cent for the year. 1 cent for the year. That means if you have 100 shares of GE stock, beginning in 2019, your dividend will be 25 cents, less than the cost of the stamp to mail it to you. GE, as we know, has seen its stock get very volatile. What was once the behemoth of the industry is now looking more like the Kodak of the film processing business. Now, GE does have some interesting lines, and they will come through and figure out how best to manage this strategy. But I think the ride's going to be rocky. I'm not telling you whether you should buy or sell the stock. to tell you the truth, I don't know any better than anybody else does. But many people would hold on. Everyone remembers when GE was selling for $60 a share. I remember when it was $60 a share. Jack Welch was running the company. I'd do anything for Jack. It was great. Everything was fabulous. And then the stock value went down, but the dividend stuck. So people didn't realize that the stock value had dropped because many people had their certificates still in their safe deposit box. And then all of a sudden the dividend cut. And people thought, maybe I should look a little bit into this. But they didn't because I love my GE dividend. It'll come back. GE's always been very good to me, all that kind of stuff. And now all these people that were holding onto the stock for the dividend are in for a very, very rude awakening. The dividend's not going to come, or it's going to be pennies. I mean, literally pennies, or I should say penny on a dollar. That's what it's going to be, penny on a dollar. So what do you do with your GE stock? I don't know, but I do want you to think about, how does that GE stock integrate into everything else in your financial life? How does that work into it all? And if you don't know how to structure that, that's the time to give us a call. If you want to learn more about us, I'll tell you about that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I don't have
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right above Alto Forno Restaurant on Cross Street in Peabody and across from the North Shore Mall. Hope you're getting ready for the holidays that are coming up, and they are coming fast. What are you going to do for Thanksgiving this year? Are you going to a high school football game? You're gearing up for the holidays, for Christmas, Hanukkah, all that stuff coming up. New Year's Eve coming up in 2019, right around the corner. I still remember wondering whether the lights on the street would turn on January 1st, 2000. Half my kids weren't even born then. Man, I'm old. I'm not that. I mean, it's like, I love saying I'm 52 and I go, I'm old. And everybody else around me goes, you think you're old? But it's not so bad. I love being here every Sunday. I love being here with you, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's, you know, there's so much information. The need and demand for honest, ethical, independent financial advice is greater than ever before. We're not living in a world anymore where when you retire, you know, after being with a company for 30 or 40 years, you got your pension, you got your Social Security, you had a few bucks in the bank, and that was all. You just lived your fixed income, you went on your love boat cruise, you came back home, you visited the grandkids. Actually, no, the grandkids came to visit you. You didn't visit the grandkids because in many cases back then, they didn't want to see you driving the car. It was much easier to have everyone come to visit you, or, you know, grandma and grandpa would stay with you for a little while, whatever. The world has changed, folks. We are making more money than ever before. As many of you know, your children, if they're not now, they are far more likely to make more money than you've ever made. Yet more adults than ever before continue to provide their children with money, which always blows me away. Yes, we want the best for our children. We always want the best for our children. But it just amazes me how the kind of lifestyle that our adult children have grown into and still feel the need to have to leech off mom and dad to support their ongoing needs. Well, grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, whatever you want to call yourselves, continue to live their simpler lifestyle. They couldn't imagine going to a restaurant and spending $75 to $100 on a bottle of wine. What? You don't do that? Spending, you know, or spending $200 and something dollars for theater tickets, or $300 for a pair of jeans? $300, you'd go to Ann and Hope and you get $20 and you buy a pair of jeans. I mean, that's the rule that it was in my house. I think it's really funny. When I was a kid, when we had birthday parties that we would go to, everything was $20. You had $20. And as I got older, that's really never changed. It's still been the $20 thing is that what we still do for birthday presents. But when you'd go to buy a pair of jeans, you'd have, if it was under $20, we could consider it. If it was over $20, forget it. We're not paying that kind of money. It's amazing how the world has changed. But one of the things that has also changed is the companies that were considered the great ones of the world have changed too. Think about all the big names that you would have said, there is no way that these companies would ever struggle. And you look at what's happening right here in our own community because we are surrounded by General Electric. Now, one of the things that I've been getting phone calls from people on is that many people who have been with GE and they retired years ago, they collect a pension. And with all of the struggles that GEs have, did you know that GE, where's that number? I put it up here. They saved something like, I'm trying to figure out what it was, the billions of dollars by cutting their dividend. It was several billions of dollars they saved from cutting the dividend. But the big question is do they have enough money to keep their pension fund alive? Because the pension fund has a deficit. In 2015, the deficit, I won't even give you the number because I can't confirm the number, so I don't want to give that to you. But can they continue to provide the pension benefits if the company continues to struggle? Imagine that. Imagine you had considered, and usually when you get a pension, remember, maybe you started collecting your pension in the 70s or the 80s. And what you've all of a sudden realized is that the pension you were collecting in the 70s and 80s is still the same pension today. You didn't get an inflation bump, did you? It's the same amount. That's what happens with a pension. It's a fixed amount. Well, what happens if the company that you're collecting your pension from files for bankruptcy or simply can't meet their pension fund obligation? What happens? Well, there's a company called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which every corporation pays into. It's an insurance policy, basically, that you're paying into that says if ever we were to go out of business, we would continue to, as best we could, provide a guarantee of that pension for the rest of your life. Well, that is likely to, if you are ever in a situation, whether it's GE or any other company that's out there, if you are ever in a situation where, well, take Kodak, for instance, or take some of these other, Polaroid, a couple of these other companies that have been around, Enron. If you are in a situation where you were collecting a traditional pension amount, chances are you're going to be okay. Now, what's a traditional pension amount? If your pension is under $60,000 per year, $5,000 a month, you're going to be okay. I think that's the maximum. $60,000 is the maximum amount that the pension benefit guarantee company can pay in pension benefits, $5,000 a month. But what if your pension was $90,000? I mean, there are many people that have graduated as principals of schools or executives in private companies where their pension could be $90,000, $100,000, $200,000. I mean, nice pensions, don't get me wrong. But all of a sudden, the company has its challenges and your pension goes from, instead of $10,000 a month to $5,000 a month and never an inflation increase ever again. Could that happen? It has happened. Who would have ever thought that it could happen at some of the major companies that exist here on the North Shore? And I'm not suggesting that that's going to happen with a company like General Electric or some of these others that have been around, but it certainly sits on the minds of those that are collecting these large pensions to wonder, is this sustainable? And that is why. That is why you as an individual have the opportunity to participate in things like a 401k plan. Why you as an individual have the opportunity to save some of your pay after paying taxes and put it into a Roth IRA, put it into an investment account. And you have the control. You have the control. We got to do that. It's now time to take that responsibility. And what I also find is interesting, and kind of on a different angle here, but with 401ks, is I think you've heard that many people stick with a company on average 5 years. It's kind of interesting. That's we no longer have the loyalty that existed decades ago with companies. We move for the better opportunity. But one of the things when we move, you know what we forget about? We leave the 401k behind. We forget about the retirement accounts that exist. In fact, I had someone in about 2 weeks ago who has 11 different 401k plans that are still on the books, but they just float out there. And she gets a statement for each of these, and she doesn't know what to do with it, but they float out there. Some of these companies that it's with, see, let's say you were with the XYZ Corporation, and then they were using, I don't know, I'll pick Fidelity as an example. They were using Fidelity as their 401k provider. And now you're no longer with this company, but this XYZ company says, you know, we don't want to use Fidelity anymore. We want to use Charles Schwab. And they map over the investments that you had at Fidelity over to Schwab. Do you have any say over that? Do you have any control? Do you get to do anything about it? Not really in many cases, because you're not connected. And God forbid you move. What's the likelihood that you've been in your same home for as long as you've had your first job that had a 401k? If you're not keeping these companies in the loop as to what your new address is, how do they even know where the money is? And that's where findmassmoney.com becomes a big deal. If you haven't visited findmassmoney.com recently, do it. I do it every year. And every year I seem to find something that I missed or lost or... And oftentimes it's next to nothing. It's like a Staples rebate for $2. But there's something. I would encourage you to go visit findmassmoney.com and see if there is money that is out there for you. And here's what you need to do. Allow yourself to think like somebody else who would write down your name. If your name is Mark, understand that your name could be spelled with a C or a K. If your last name is Friedman, understand that somebody could have written your name down with two E's or an I-E or an E-I. If you live on Cara Drive, understand that it could have been written down with a C or a K. Try all the variations. You may be very surprised to see what comes up. I want to try to continue to give you financial advice in a language you can understand each and every Sunday. And that's what we do here with our show Dollars and Cents. But if now is the time, or if you're thinking about after the first of the year saying to yourself, it's time for me to get serious about my financial planning, about time for me to get my financial house in order, to consolidate everything, to simplify it up, to go to someone that's going to give me advice that goes beyond just, what investment should I buy today? A perspective on everything, the big picture, I'd really encourage you to give us a call. Our phone number at the office is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. If you'd like to receive our free weekly newsletter that's called Planning Pointers, it comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And of course, if you'd like to drop me a note personally, you want to just send me a direct email, here is my personal email address. It is Mark, M-A-R-C, at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. You'll get right to me. If you send it right now, chances are I'm going to respond to you within the hour. That's just kind of how I do things. Emails I respond to very quickly. I want to thank you again for tuning in this and every Sunday. We'll be back next Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.